Thanks for joining us bright and early here on The Morning Show. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. It's time to head to the zoo, virtually at least. In Chippewa Falls, bison and elk are grazing the pastures of the Irvine Park Zoo. Although the zoo is closed, you can still walk around the park. The organization says zookeepers are working hard and wearing masks to protect their animals. And they're not alone, as hundreds of zoos across the country are closed. We're talking about what's happening, how the animals are doing, and how we can still enjoy the excitement of creatures when we can't traipse around the grounds. Join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Tell us why you like to go to zoos. What do you prefer to see? Is it a place for you to experience different animals? Or do you like to get in the walking that a zoo provides? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We've got two guests right here in Wisconsin to take us through the conversation this hour. David Fechter joins us. He and his wife Lana co-own the Shalom Wildlife Zoo in West Bend. They opened that facility in 1979. And today it stretches 100 acres with 75 species and more than 750 animals. Welcome to the Ideas Network, David.
Good morning.
And Chuck Wickenhauser is the Milwaukee County Zoo Director. That zoo has more than 2,000 animals spanning 190 wooded acres. Hey, Chuck, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Keely.
Chuck, the Milwaukee County Zoo has been closed since March 15th. How has that changed what happens daily at the zoo?
Well, it's changed a significant amount of things at the zoo right now. We typically would be very busy with spring break and then school groups, and all of that has been canceled or postponed. And yes, it's a little eerie walking around the zoo right now.
And what is actually happening physically? Because the animals need to be cared for, but you don't want to expose employees to COVID-19. So how have you put some sort of safety measures in place, both for the animals and for people?
Right now, there are several areas of the animal collection that the keepers are wearing the personal protective equipment. Always in our great apes have we been doing that because they are most susceptible to diseases that humans carry. And historically, we've given the orangs, the bonobos, and the gorillas flu shots to prevent that. The big cats now are using the same type of equipment, the masks and drapes, because of the discovery of coronavirus in some big cats in the Bronx Zoo. We also then have extended it to the rest of the primate collection and some of the small mammals that we have. The keepers are wearing the proper equipment there, too.
And David, I understand you have a family who works in the healthcare industry, doctors and nurses there. How are you and your family handling the pandemic right now when you know, own this property with so many animals?
Well, fortunately for us, we have, two doctors and a nurse on staff here. My son is a doctor down in Cleveland, Ohio, and so he's actively involved in it. And so a lot of the things that they use in the healthcare industry, we've actually implemented here at Shalom.
What are some of those?
You know, documentation, temperature taking, same things that Chuck is doing with his team over at the Milwaukee County Zoo.
Okay, yeah. And tell me how the stay-at-home order has affected you know, your business when people are told, you know, please don't wander out, please stay on in your own area. It's kind of the opposite of the purpose of the zoo.
That's right. You know, the zoo, we have 750 animals. They have to be fed every day and taken care of every day. And, we are a privately owned zoo, so we count on admissions. That's our only source of income. And so normally our season opens the last weekend of April and runs through November. Then we're closed for a couple weeks, and then we have something called Christmas at the Zoo, where you drive through the zoo in your own vehicle. And so we closed down on January 1st, and, you know, then coronavirus showed up. And we started getting tons of calls from people, hundreds of people, asking us if we could open the zoo for a drive-through, just like we did at the Christmas season, where everybody would be in their own vehicle, and we could do some distance learning, putting the signage along the trail. And so that is one of the huge changes that we actually made at Shalom.
Are people able to drive through it now?
Yes, they have. We've been open since the 11th of April, and you know, we got so many calls of people just saying they needed to get outdoors and get a mental break. And so it's, you know, extremely busy weekends, weekdays, and the people that come through, they're so thankful. I mean, the people are just saying, thank you so much for doing this. You know, they can't get out of their vehicle. We don't allow anybody to feed animals. We're known as America's largest petting zoo. So nobody can feed the animals. Nobody can pet the animals. And just people are just loving it.
David Fechter co-owns the Shalom Wildlife Zoo in West Bend. We're also talking with Chuck Wickenhauser, who's the zoo director at the Milwaukee County Zoo. And we're taking your calls here on this Wisconsin Weekend edition that is focused on zoos, even in a time when we don't have the same sort of regular access to them that we think of. Wondering how you are handling it, if you think that being able to see these animals from all over the place would help to ease some of the anxiety of the pandemic. Maybe your kids are asking to go to the zoo and you've had to say no for now. Tell us what you're experiencing and what you're thinking about when it comes to zoos right now. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And Chuck, then help us understand how Milwaukee County Zoo is handling the stay-at-home order and what you'd like to see to make sure that people have access to the animals you have there.
Well, we certainly have our webcams and then the social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook that we're active on to make sure people can see the animal collection, although they'll not be there. But driving through our zoo, it's just not designed for that. So we're going to have a opportunity to open and have people come on there physically before they're going to be able to visit the zoo.
And what animals, because you can still see the animals, what animals kind of give you a bit of a lift, Chuck, when you're able to, you know, go into work and see them?
Well, certainly the first thing you see when you enter the zoo are the penguins, and they're active swimming. I don't know if they really notice too much difference. A lot of people are usually around that exhibit, so I'm sure they miss that activity. And then our North American river otters. They enjoy interacting with children. We have a nice large exhibit with two pools with underwater viewing, and the kids can get right up to that glass, and the otters come down to them, and then the otters will go over to the next pool, and the kids will chase over there. Otters will come back to the others, and the kids will come back there. So there is some interaction there, and I think they really enjoy it.
But those otters don't have that sort of interaction right now then, or at least with your staff, it's far more limited than when you can allow visitors in.
That's true. And right now, enrichment activities that the keepers normally would do maybe a little bit less, they're concentrating on doing more of that now so that they can interact with the animal collection in a typical manner, but just try to stimulate behavior and activity as much as they can.
How important is that for the health of the animals?
Well, certainly the more intelligent animals, it's really important. Whether it's primates or big cats or elephants, they really, really enjoy the interaction, the behavioral training that we do so that we can manage them from a husbandry standpoint. So it's something that we find very important, and it's required, really, by accreditation standards and by USDA standards.
All right, Chuck Wickenhauser and David Fechter, stay with us, and we are talking about Wisconsin zoos in this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Did you know that some animals can find that enrichment just by watching TV? Giraffes at the Racine Zoo enjoyed the movie Elf this week, and just a week ago, Obi the zebra turned 5. You can find more on the Racine Zoo Facebook page and join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. On this Wisconsin weekend, it's lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. I know, but we just couldn't resist. We're taking an adventure into zoo culture during the pandemic. Here's a Friday fun fact from the Lincoln Park Zoo in Manitowoc. Kangaroo rats stamp their feet to scare snakes. Zookeepers are busy caring for them and for Honey and Mo, two black bears, Sirius the bison, and Keely the gray wolf. I will say, I really like her name. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about zoos this hour. You're part of the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tell us what part a zoo plays in your life. Are you following zoos on social media right now? Did you watch the penguins walk around the Shedd Aquarium? Or are you tapping into local resources? Have you decided to donate to your local zoo, even though you can't go to it right now? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Chuck Wickenhauser is the zoo director at the Milwaukee County Zoo. We've also got David Fechter here, who co-owns the Shalom Wildlife Zoo in West Bend. And David, want to give you a chance, too, to not pick your favorite child, but what animal do you appreciate seeing when you are able to go to work?
Well, just about all of them, yeah, to be honest with you, but the bears are our favorite. Every animal has its own personality and its way it tries to communicate with you. We have two brown bears. Their names are Lewis and Clark, and we've raised those since they were 4 weeks old. So they're very friendly, and they love to see us. They come over. They try to talk to us. They got their little bear way. And being America's largest petting zoo, a lot of our animals kind of interact with the people in many ways. And so our bears are so used to seeing people that they look forward to people coming. And so when people drive by with their auto and they get by the brown bear exhibit, the more you laugh, the more they show up. They jump in the water. They wrestle. And so, you know, that I would say if I had to pick one animal that was really my favorite, I would say it would be the brown bears or maybe even the tigers, you know, but all of them are special.
Right, right. It sounds like you have baby bears, too.
Yeah, we just got a pair of black bears, Molly and Buster. And, you know, they were our new exhibit for 2020. And so when we built the exhibit, we built it slightly off the main road where people drive with their auto. And so every morning we have to feed them. Every night we bottle feed them. And as far as, you know, like the social media here, we try to post daily something about the little bears or one of the animals and just our whole experience of raising them so people that never had a little bear, you know, they can see what
people,
it's like.
Some people may have never had a little bear, right.
Had a little bear. But, you know, every animal has got its own personality, and they show it. They show their affection towards you in a special way. And it's one of the things that we try to share, you know, on our Facebook Shalom Wildlife Sanctuaries page.
This is a conversation that is really fun and also really realistic. I mean, with the zoo being partially open right now, David, what does staffing look like? Because you have to get those baby bears, those 6 bottles of milk a day. That's not an option. So you have to keep people employed, but you're not at full capacity.
Right. Well, we have 4 main biologists that are zookeepers. And so that is their job. They take care of the animals. We also, you know, have a large staff, our kitchen staff, our gift shop staff, check-in staff. And these are all jobs that actually would have started at the end of April. And with the coronavirus, we haven't been able to use these people. And so, you know, in nature, everything's connected, right? But in the economy, everything's connected, too. And a lot of these children, these people, you know, college kids and high school kids, you know, actually saving up for college. They're just kind of waiting, you know, for hopefully that we can get back to business here.
Yeah. And Chuck, now that the Milwaukee County Zoo has been closed for nearly 2 months, how is that affecting workers there?
Well, certainly we're taking care of the essential things, which is animal care and welfare, and then our horticultural collection. But I would say about 90% of our staff are on some sort of work hour reduction plan that varies from 10% to about 40% of their hours worked, and then a few are just totally furloughed. Right now, we would hire probably about 100 seasonal employees, which would be mostly young people of school or college age, and we have not done any of that at this point because they would normally be involved with admissions or the rides or other seasonal jobs on the grounds and in the custodial service. So none of those people have been brought back at this point.
Still, having to care for and feed more than 2,100 animals, that sounds like it's a lot of physical time to take care of them. What does that look like?
Well, it certainly is. We have keepers are working a a 7.5 hour day, about, or 7 hours, depending on what they're doing. But it's a typical day for keepers, really, still. It's just a little less time that they have, maybe for a personal project of some sort. But they're all good. We've been fortunate that the staff has stayed healthy, and that we've been able to stay fully staffed as far as the number of people. It's just a little bit shorter day.
And, you know, on that more serious note, we hear about personal protective equipment shortages all across the country. What about for your staff? Are they in okay shape?
They certainly are. We were able to, in advance of this, already have a significant supply of that, whether it's face masks or gowns or other gloves that people need. And we had enough that we could even share some of that with the Emergency Operations Center at Milwaukee County, and that they could provide some to first responders and House of Correction. So at this point, we're very good as far as our equipment, and we have a number of pieces on order, too, to just make sure that we stay ahead of this whole thing.
David, what's your situation in West Bend when it comes to the equipment needed to protect your staff?
We are fully, you know, stocked. You know, so we haven't seen an issue there. You know, we have implemented procedures, like we take the zookeeper's temperature every morning and every night before they leave, documentation on all of it. We have weekly meetings with the staff just to, you know, keep everybody up to date, what's happening, and, you know, where have you been, you know, where's your spouse been, just to really protect, you know, the whole crew, actually, and the animals as well.
All right. We are talking with Chuck Wickenhauser and also David Fechter, and we are talking about zoos when people aren't able to swing through because of COVID-19. And we are taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. Tell us what your favorite zoo is in Wisconsin. Why is the experience there so special? And what do you maybe miss about not being able to go there as the weather warms up and you're ready to get outside? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about this for the hour, so there's still time for you to have a conversation with us now. And David, we see zoos across the country, including Wisconsin, relying on social media to keep people engaged. And what is a way that you have connected with kids right now when it comes to social media? Because I imagine it can be difficult when kids want to go see the animals and really can't.
Right. Well, we have a Facebook page, Shalom Wildlife Sanctuary, and like I mentioned a little earlier, we post daily, and it's very educational. Just like Chuck over at the Milwaukee County Zoo, there, a lot of the schools and summer camps have canceled, and yet the teachers contacted us and said, is there any way that you can increase the amount of information, educational stuff? And so every day we try to post something, you know, several times a day even, you know, so people can stay connected. You know, obviously everybody would like to walk. We also rent golf carts because our zoo is so large. It's 4 miles. And, you know, people want to come, but, you know, the Facebook has really been a good way for them to stay connected.
Chuck, I wonder about that education piece. How much does it matter if kids get, you know, some of their vegetables with their treats when they're watching the animals? How much of it is a learning experience?
Well, certainly our website, MilwaukeeZoo.org, is more of a fun type of experience and just keeping in touch with animals. If you go to our support organization, the Milwaukee County Zoological Society, that's ZooSociety.org, their educational department has developed a number of programs there that kids can interact with and just have parents use them to keep kids busy for a while.
All right. We will make sure that links to all of those are up on our website, so you can go ahead and find this program note by visiting WPR.org/mornings, and that will take you to the different places that we've talked about here and other links from across Wisconsin. It is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. You're hearing from Chuck Wickenhauser, who is the Milwaukee County Zoo Director. There are habitats there for animals like giraffes and elephants, otters and penguins. And we're also hearing from David Fechter. He and his wife co-own the Shalom Wildlife Zoo in West Bend, and they opened that facility in 1979. We've also got a message from the Wisconsin Deer Park in Wisconsin Dells. They host over 100 deer. They say the deer are safe, healthy, and missing all of their snack-sharing friends. We can't wait to welcome you all back. Thanks so much, Wisconsin Deer Park. We are talking about zoos on this Wisconsin weekend, and we're taking your calls, your emails. The email address to use is ideas@WPR.org, or you can pick up the phone, dial 800-642-1234. We're talking about visiting favorite zoos in Wisconsin now. What animals do you love to see at the zoo? What do you miss about not being able to visit? Maybe you have a wonderful memory from a zoo. Were you with your family? Did you see a particular animal? Tell us your story. This is a place for you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Our Wisconsin weekend continues through the hour. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. We are focusing on zoos in this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Thanks for being with us. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. The first wild whooping crane chicks in the state have hatched. That's according to the International Crane Foundation. The 300-acre facility hosts 100 cranes. It's closed to humans right now, but we can get in on a web series called Quarantine with Cranes. You can also try your hand at some crane-themed activities. Find a link on our website, WPR.org/mornings. You can also live on the wild side thanks to Wisconsin Big Cat Rescue Education Center, also in Baraboo. They may not be open, but they still celebrated the birthdays of their tigers, Diamond, and Allure on Facebook. Happy 15th, you two. We've got two animal experts here, and they're ready for your questions. What do you wonder about some of the animals you've seen at the zoo? When are you looking forward to getting back to the zoo? And what do you miss about being able to walk around and see the different animals? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Chuck Wickenhauser and David Fechter are our guides this hour. Chuck works as the Milwaukee County Zoo Director, and David Fechter co-owns the Shalom Wildlife Zoo in West Bend. And Chuck, research has shown that animals can display signs of loneliness or different behaviors, not having the public around. We talked a little bit earlier about the otters and the penguins, but what other changes are you seeing in your animals, and what are you doing to make sure that they have enough toys or treats to get them through?
The keepers have a number of different training procedures that they go through. They teach the animals how to behave in the sense of how to react to a stimulus so that they can really be used to weigh animals. We use that to get animals to accept hand injections so that we don't have to use tranquilizer guns or anything like that. Also, we use it, for instance, in our great apes, the bonobos, the pygmy chimpanzees. We can do ultrasounds when we feel that there's a pregnancy that's imminent. We do just a number of things. Elephants, for instance, probably know 40-some commands, all used to, for some reason, for husbandry, whether it's foot trimming or looking in at their teeth or getting trunk flushes. So a number of things that they're done just for the animals' husbandry and care. As far as entertainment or enrichment for them, we have puzzles that we put feet in and they have to turn or put their paw inside of to try to get them the food to come out. So just it's things, spray scents around the exhibit, perfumes or aftershave or something like that that just keeps the animal moving around because they want to discover all of those.
And David, what behaviors do you see from your animals when families aren't around compared to when you have people walking through the zoo?
Well, when I get out and go somewhere, one of my favorite things I like to do is watch people because they're entertaining and they look different, right? And it's really no different with animals. You know, we look at them, we go, wow, look at that. But they look at us and go, wow, look at that, and watch how people do things. You know, we put in enrichments for them as well. You know, we constantly got to keep their brains stimulated. You know, if animals aren't stimulated, they just want to lay around and just, you know, go to sleep pretty much. And so we position a lot of our exhibits near one another. For example, the tigers would be near the zebras and the ostrich and the camels, you know, so they can see them and see them do their things. We have different vocal things happening between the zoo. The wolves will be howling and the coyotes be yipping back. And then you might hear the donkey on the other end. So in a way, they kind of communicate with each other. You know, hey, are you still over there? And, you know, that's how they kind of talk to one another and keep themselves stimulated.
That interaction. All right. We are talking with David Fechter, who is a co-owner of a wildlife zoo in West Bend, and Chuck Wickenhauser, who's with the Milwaukee County Zoo. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234 on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend as we talk about how zoos are working and how animals are being cared for and how you can connect with them even though they're mainly closed. 800-642-1234. And we have Kevin from Middleton who has a question for us. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, everyone. It's been a good show so far. I appreciate the dialogue. The question that I had, well, first off, just wanted to weigh in. I miss my Henry Vila Zoo here in Madison. The free zoo and just taking my children there. So it's been a big void in our life so far this spring. But the question that I had, and I'm excited about this place in West Bend, the Shalom Petting Zoo that I had never heard of before somehow, and I sort of can't there. But the question I have is for David. It was nice to hear you talk so fondly about the animals, but I hope I don't offend you or anyone by asking this question, but would you mind letting us know, like, how did those baby cubs, like, how did you acquire a set of baby cubs that you're milking daily? Is it? Would you mind me asking a question like that?
All right. Yeah. Thanks for the question, Kevin. And this is not understanding how animals get to zoos is a pretty common question, actually. David, can you tell us about it?
Yes, that's a great question. I'm really glad you asked it. Almost every animal that you see in the zoo came from another zoo. And zoos are kind of like animal banks. They, you know, in the wild today, many species are on the verge of extinction. It is illegal to take most animals out of the wild. So in order for a zoo to get another animal, you have to connect with other zoos. And so, you know, we have our breeding program with our tigers right now. We're trying to get them to reproduce. And for about 5 years ago, we were saying, okay, what's the next species we want to get to show our visitors and to learn about them and, you know, learn about the animal. And so we started to do a little investigating. We worked with some other zoos until we found a pair of cubs. And so they've been with us now for about 8 weeks, and it's just amazing how much we can learn from them and the people actually to see them interact. Now, a black bear is a common thing you would see in the wild in Wisconsin, but most people never, ever get to see a black bear in Wisconsin. So this just gives them a great opportunity to see an animal, and our exhibits are huge. We're known as Wisconsin's wildest zoo, so you can actually see animals in the pond and climbing trees and just doing wild things like you would see in the wild.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much for that thoughtful question at 800-642-1234. Still time for your calls if you've got a question or want to tell us a story about your time at the zoo or what you miss about it. 800-642-1234. And Chuck, I want to ask you, too. I'm sure you get that question at the Milwaukee County Zoo, where the animals come from or how you make sure that you're giving them the respect that they deserve. Want to give you a chance to answer to that.
Well, Milwaukee County Zoo is one of the oldest or longest accredited zoo with the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. There are about 240 North American and other international zoos and aquariums that belong to that. We have quite an active animal management groups in that, some called species survival plans or taxonomic advisory groups, and they really manage the captive population of animals in zoos and aquariums. And on a regular basis, these groups meet and take a look at the population and really make decisions as to what animals should go where, just to make sure that we're not inbreeding and that their pedigree is well known and that we can trace that back for several generations. So we would, if we were building an exhibit, we would make sure that we worked with those groups, especially on design and what the specifications might be, and as to what the availability of particular species are. Unfortunately, we are really having a difficult time, I think, as far as animals and human care and the number of species that are going to be available. Some species getting older and just aren't reproducing as well as they should. And so that's limiting some of the animals that you're going to see in the collection. But that's generally the way we would approach getting new animals for the collection.
And you also mentioned, you know, creating habitats for them that work well. The zoo is actually in phase two of construction for an underwater exhibit. So that's all happening while we have restricted staff and access in this pandemic.
Yes, the second phase of Adventure Africa is the hippo exhibit with underwater viewing. That's something that will be completed yet this month. And hopefully, if we're allowed to reopen in the next few weeks here, we'll open that in June. I think it'll be exciting. First phase was elephants and then other African hoofstock species and ostrich and crane. So, yes, we're excited about it. The equipment that it takes to filter the water for the hippo exhibit is extensive because that's where the hippos poop. And trying to get that out of the water is much like having your own sanitary sewer plant in the lower level of one of our buildings.
Yeah, I guess we focused a lot on feeding and didn't think about some of the other aspects of what happens when you have to handle animals. That's good to know. You know, we also heard David talk about how much they rely on admission for funding and donations. How does the Milwaukee County Zoo operate, Chuck, funding-wise?
We are a department of Milwaukee County government, which at this time is very fortunate in that they've had some resources that they can provide financially for us. We are in a purchasing freeze, only emergency or animal care-related purchases, and a hiring freeze. So they've been able to help us significantly through this, but we are closed, and if we stay closed through June 30th, that could be a loss of as much as $3 million.
Wow. And David, have you found community support despite the fact that your zoo isn't fully open?
Definitely. We receive tons of food from the people. People will donate money. We are for profit. And so when people donate things to us, there's not a tax incentive for them. It's just something out of the goodness of their heart. Yesterday, I went to pick up, I had to pick up 2,000 pounds of beef for the tigers. And I got to the place that I, the facility that makes it, and they donated the whole works for us, you know. So, I mean, everybody realizes that these are tough times right now, and those good things in your community that you want to make sure are around in the future, people are pitching in to help make it happen and keep it going. And so, you know, just as an outpour of love and care from the, you know, from our visitors, I would say.
Yeah. That is David Fechter with Shalom Wildlife Zoo, and also we're talking with Chuck Wickenhauser of the Milwaukee County Zoo on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. You are listening to The Morning Show. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. But you can take a cross-town bus if it's raining. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Zoos are closed in Wisconsin, but that will not stop us from talking about them here on Wisconsin Weekend. The penguins at the new zoo in Adventure Park in Green Bay are finally enjoying their outdoor pools. And in just about 10 minutes, you can watch otters eat their breakfast thanks to a live camera feed. Visit WPR.org/mornings for a link. We are talking about zoos during this pandemic with Chuck Wickenhauser of the Milwaukee County Zoo and David Fechter with Shalom Wildlife Zoo in West Bend. And I do want to also mention that at the Henry Vila Zoo in Madison, zookeepers are doing live chats on Facebook with animals. And Bremer Park Zoo near Green Bay recently posted pictures on social media of peacocks and Cooper the Arctic fox. We have a lot of zoos reaching out on social media and a lot of links at WPR.org/mornings. Chuck, when it comes to that connection, those webcams and those live camera feeds, what are you trying to accomplish for families and people who click and watch those webcams throughout the zoo?
Well, many people have favorite animals, and they talk about them, they read about them, and this is an opportunity for them to just go on and watch the animals just doing what they normally would do. It's not something that we would try to stimulate the animal for just for entertainment purposes, but it gives you a good glimpse into their daily life, and occasionally you'll see the keepers interacting with them. But there's a variety of cameras, about eight of them around the zoo, and they're really the favorite animals that people have expressed interest in.
So it just kind of depends on which animals. But big cats, I think, are one that people really enjoy watching. Is that true?
That's true. You can see our jaguars on the camera, as well as our lions and sometimes hyenas.
Oh, okay. Sounds great. And David, with that social media connection to people or the drive-through, you know, will we be disappointed because we can only see certain animals? Or are you hearing from people that, goodness, being able to experience it in any way is worth it?
Well, the drive-through, it actually is set up so you see almost all the animals.
Wow.
You know, it was designed for this, you know, and it's been a, you know, 40-year process. So it doesn't matter really when you come, you're going to see it. You're going to see the animals. You're going to see the herds of buffalo and the tigers and the bears. And so that is there. And the thing is, there's this thing about zoos that are really important for our society. It's a place where you can go and you realize that life isn't so bad after all. You know, sure, the coronavirus is affecting everybody's life. But when you go to the zoo, there's a calmness, the connection with the nature. And so it's just it's a great thing for people to get out there. And with our drive-through, you can experience all of that. It takes an hour and a half to 2 hours to go through. So it's a nice time out there in nature.
And when you say it's an opportunity to put some things behind you, you also are looking forward to making sure that when you are able to fully reopen, you're keeping people safe, right?
Absolutely. Yep. The animals, you know, at our drive-through, you're in your vehicle. They are behind their fences, but it's a very low fence. A low-vis fence. So you're not going to really see the fence. You're going to see the animal. And it's safe because you don't have to worry about a buffalo attacking you or a zebra biting your finger off or something like that. It's safe for the people and it's safe for the animals.
Yeah, I prefer to keep all of my fingers. I appreciate that, David. And Chuck, I know the Milwaukee County Zoo puts a priority on safety in those enclosures too. With COVID-19, if you were to reopen soon, what type of safety precautions would you provide people who visit?
Well, we would have strictly online ticket purchases with timed entries. We would start off with just the grounds open. We have several outdoor exhibits to see, but the buildings would be closed. We would make sure that our staff was properly attired in the right equipment to make sure people feel safe. I think we would start off with probably about 1,500 to 2,500 capacity. As far as visitors go, our grounds can easily hold 15 to 18,000. So that would be quite a good distance that we could provide people throughout that. And then we'd have staff circulating to make sure that we didn't have people congregating too closely around some of the more popular exhibits.
All right. We'll pay attention. Chuck, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And David, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
David Fechter and his wife Lana co-own the Shalom Wildlife Zoo in West Bend, which has more than 750 animals. And Chuck Wickenhauser is the Milwaukee County Zoo director, which has more than 2,000 animals. It's time now for Wisconsin Life. Here's former host Erica Janik revisiting a story just ahead of Mother's Day this weekend. She talks with the founder of Infamous Mothers, an organization based in Madison.
For many years, Sagacious Levingston felt like she was faking motherhood. The women she knew looked nothing like the mothers in books and on TV, and she felt like she was constantly failing to live up to what other people thought she should be. Rather than keep trying to change, though, Levingston decided to change the story with a group she called Infamous Mothers.
I've come from four generations of sex workers. My great-grandma was a sex worker. My grandma was a sex worker. My dad was part of the sex industry. My sister was part of the sex industry. I knew that that wasn't for me, but I still found myself engaging in risky behavior, and I was having all of these children, and I didn't have the self-esteem to protect myself because I felt like, well, if I do this, then this person's not going to want to be with me, then I can't get the validation that I need, then I can't go through the world being smart because I have to get the validation first, then I can be smart, right? So there was this whole process that I was trying to go through. And I had to overcome that. One day I had to wake up and say, I have these string of kids. And, you know, when you mess up one kid, you can blame the kid. The kid was a fluke, right? But if you mess up five, folks are like, who is your mama? Who did this? And unleashed these folks into the world, right? So I looked up and I had all of this responsibility and I had to do something about it. I didn't see stories like mine. You know, one of the things that I say a lot is that I found myself and women like me amputating parts of myself, ourselves, to fit into these neat boxes. And after a while, you cut off enough pieces, there's just nothing left. When I started this research, I was interested in all mothers, right? And I'm still interested in all moms. But what I noticed was the women who were damaged most by the mothering narratives were moms like me, moms who had come from impoverished Black backgrounds, moms who had multiple children by multiple men, moms who were teen moms or moms who were on drugs. So any mom that I can imagine was in my community was the ones who were really damaged by the mothering narrative. So I knew that if I could help empower that group of mom, it would kind of trickle up. I grew up around amazing women, amazingly. Oh, God, I'm about to cry just thinking about these women. Where I come from, women on the south side of Chicago, women in low-income housing. What I experienced with moms who were tough. Tough was their love. Tough was their form of love. Their mothering met the intensity of that environment. So my name is interesting, right? My mom has a college degree. My dad, who has no college degree, used to read the dictionary, and he named me Sagacious. And I asked my dad, why did you name me Sagacious? Because I'm the only one in my I have 11 other siblings. Their names are like Chandra, Sean, Kyle, Paul, Isaac, right? I'm the only sagacious, right? So why me? And my dad said, because I wanted you to live up to your name. That was important to me. And so as time went on, when I became an adult, I said, Dad, there's a word right across from my name, salacious. You know, one letter different, it would have been the pole for me, Dad. I would have been right there swinging on the pole, right? And here I am at the podium, right? Like, that was one letter different. And then I realized that he understood that, and that name was very intentional. By the time he got to me, he was saying, enough. There's something that's happening in our family. And if I call you something different, if I call you wise every day, then maybe you'll rise. There's something really humbling when you carve out a space for yourself and then other women say, this fits me too.
Sagacious Levingston is the founder of Infamous Mothers. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Erica Janik.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Tell us about it. Send your suggestion to ideas@WPR.org, and we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. Thanks for being with us today on this Friday. I'm Keeley Boltina. The Morning Show continues ahead. You're listening to the Ideas Network.